Therefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches, and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue has spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart. My lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, and set thy words in order before me, stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. Ending our reading at verse 17, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer. Father, we come to thee in the closing moments of this meeting tonight. We pray for help from heaven. We thank thee for all that we have heard in the messages and song and the word of testimony. We pray that tonight in the closing moments of this service, that thou wilt close us in with thyself, that thou wilt speak to the hearts of men and women and young people here who are yet without Christ, and lead them to the Savior. Give us power in the preaching of the word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention here to Job chapter 33 and verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Job had much to listen to. He heard many hard things, many harrowing things. The messengers came with the news of the loss of his substance and with the loss of his family. They were devastating words that Job heard, depressing words, words that filled his heart with great sorrow and pain. And then you have the words of his own wife, who urged him in this situation, in Job 2 and verse 9, to curse God and die. These words must have struck at the heart of Job at this time of his great sorrow and sickness, at a time when he would have been most vulnerable. And then he had to listen to his so-called comforters who came with their words. They questioned his standing before God. They came with their accusations against Job, with their insinuations concerning Job. And all this was very damaging to Job. They were difficult days for God's servant. Yet above and beyond all the voices of men and women, there was the voice of the chief accuser himself, Satan. But then he heard the voice of God. And what a delightful voice that was. In the midst of the darkness of Job's experience, in the midst of the difficulties that he faced, in the midst of all his sorrow and sickness, he heard the voice of God. And the voice of God brought peace and brought calm to the troubled heart of David. The words of men and women brought no comfort. They brought only consternation. But the voice of God brought comfort. And the voice of God brought encouragement. You remember when the disciples were troubled? And they thought they saw a spirit. The Lord said, "It is I. Be not afraid." The Lord brings calm in the midst of the storms of life. And you may be troubled tonight. You may be even tormented in your mind tonight. But the Lord comes with His Word to give calm to your troubled heart. I want to speak to you on the words of our text tonight because these words are the challenging, convicting, convincing, converting, and condemning words of God. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. I want you to see tonight these words. First of all, God first speaking. It says, God speaketh once. The voice of God spoke first in creation. The voice of God was powerful. The Bible tells us in Psalm 29 and verse 4. And what a powerful voice that was that spoke this world into existence. God spoke and it was done. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And what evidence we have all around us of God's marvelous creation, the miracle of God's creation. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And what wonders we behold when we look at what God has created tonight. It is marvelous, it is wonderful, God's power displayed and demonstrated in such a mighty way. You remember the words of Paul in Colossians 1, 16 and 17. It says, by Him were all things created, that are in the heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. The voice of God is powerful. It spoke this world into existence. And then we have not only God first speaking in creation, but you remember God first speaking to Adam and how powerful that voice was. God said to Adam, "Where art thou?" How powerful was that voice? At that time there in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve had sinned and they had hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. God's voice was powerful. And God's voice was personal. The Lord called unto Adam. And the Lord calls you powerfully tonight. But He also calls you personally. There's no hiding place from the voice of God. Oh, you may try to hide from God's voice, but you cannot. There's no hiding place from it. The voice of God is powerful. The voice of God is personal. The voice of God is penetrating. For it penetrated into the heart of Adam there in the Garden of Eden. And Adam's heart was searched out. And the Lord sifted the heart of Adam. And of Eve, is the Lord searching your heart tonight in this meeting? Can you recall the first time that God spoke to you about your sin? About your departure from God, from His Word and from His ways? Your disobedience of His law? He spoke to Adam about his sin. Hast thou eaten of the tree? God spoke to him about his sin. And God speaks to you about your sin tonight. But God also spoke to Adam about the Savior because he pointed Adam to the seed of the woman. And of course, the seed of the woman bruising the head of the serpent. It speaks to us of the great work of Christ upon the cross. He spoke to him about the sacrifice, about the shedding of the blood, the coats of skins. Meant there had to be the sacrifice and, of course, the shedding of the blood. And my friend, tonight, when God speaks to you, not only speaks to you about the ruination of your sin, but He speaks to you about the remedy from your sin. And thank God there's a remedy in the precious blood of Christ tonight. There's a remedy for your sin. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may come in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. My friend, that's the way that you need to come tonight. God speaketh once. And then I want you to see not only God first speaking to Adam, but God first speaking to Cain in Genesis chapter 4. His offering was not accepted. He brought of his own works. And God was displeased. And God spoke and said, "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Sin lay at the door of Cain." You see, my friend, it was a pointed message to the heart of Cain. The sin lay at your door tonight. That which you bring to God is unacceptable. Your own efforts, your own works are unacceptable to God. Sin lies at your door as it lay at Cain's door tonight. Perhaps God first spoke to you at your mother's knee through the prayers that she offered on your behalf. Through the faithful instruction that she gave to you. Perhaps God first spoke to you through the godly example of your father. Perhaps God first spoke to you in the Sabbath school class or in the Bible class or in the youth fellowship meeting. In the gospel service, God first spoke to your heart. Perhaps through the faithful witnessing of a friend. Have you neglected the Lord speaking that first time to your heart? You have shunned the message of the gospel. You have refused the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh to you from heaven." God first. But then I want you to see, secondly, tonight, God further speaking, because God speaks through providences, providential happenings in our lives. The person you were brought into contact with who lived a godly life before you in the workplace, or in the university, or in the district where you live, that person invited you to hear the gospel. They showed to you the love of Christ. It wasn't by chance that they came across your pathway. God speaks through providence. The time of sickness, when weakness came to your body, when you experienced pain, when you knew anxiety, the dark period of sorrow, the loss of someone precious to you, those days of darkness and difficulty in your life's experience. It was the Lord speaking to you a second time. God further speaking. And of course, God further speaks through preaching. Faithful preaching. The preaching of Christ. The fervent preaching of the gospel. Haven't you heard the gospel preached? And God has further spoken through the preaching of the word. And God further speaks through the pleading of the Holy Spirit and through the strivings of the Spirit of God in your heart. Haven't you felt the tug at your heart? Haven't you felt conviction of sin? God further speaking. God further speaks through prayer. The prayers of those who pray on your behalf. God speaks to you through those prayers unknown to you. Or perhaps someone does say to you on occasion, I'm praying for you. And you think, what's he praying for me for? Or what's she praying for me for? Maybe you even think indignantly, I don't need their prayers. But God speaks through those prayers to your heart. God further speaks through world events, things that are happening in this world, seen that speak to you about your need of God, the nearness of eternity, heaven and hell. The Word of God says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. See how God further spoke to Cain. Read Genesis chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. He had already committed the dastardly deed of murder. He had killed his brother Abel. And God said to Cain, where is Abel thy brother? What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto thee from the ground. God further spoke. How devastating was that voice to the heart of Cain. And Cain went out from the presence of God. My dear friend, wouldn't it be a terrible thing for you to be like Cain? To go out from the presence of God. And to cry as Cain cries from hell tonight, my punishment is greater than I can bear. The cry of a lost soul to whom God further spoke. God further spoke to David through the death of the child. You remember how he had sinned and God spoke to David. But David was restored. And maybe tonight you have grievously sinned even as a Christian. And you say, how could ever God bring me back? Did anyone more grievously sin than David? And yet God brought him back and restored to him the joy of his salvation. And he said, against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And God restored him. He brought him back. And God further speaks to men and women and young people again and again. They are impressed and challenged as to how they stand before God. Perhaps someone you know has got saved, a drinking companion, or someone you know in the world, and you say, that person has got saved, their life has been changed, and God is further speaking to you through that situation. And you've started to consider your ways, and you're here tonight because you've started to consider your need. And to consider your latter end, your need of Christ. There's another thing here tonight, God finally speaks. You see, it says here in our text, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. You see, God speaks for a long time, but he speaks for a last time. The day of grace closes, the door of mercy shuts. And oh, the folly of men who will not hear and heed the voice of God. I believe there are three knocks. There's the loud knock, and there's the long knock, but there's the last knock.
And my friend, God knocks on the door of the heart for the last time. Maybe he's doing that tonight. God finally speaking. You think of those in Noah's day, they perceived it not. The door of the ark was shut. They were swallowed up in the swirling currents of God's wrath, of the flood. They were spoken to once and twice, yet in their folly they perceived it not. They closed their eyes and their ears to all that God was saying and to all that they were seeing as far as the building of the ark was concerned. The Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. No spiritual discernment. No enlightenment. The Word of God declares the God of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, blinded by the devil. There are many people in Northern Ireland and Belfast tonight, perhaps even in this church building here tonight, who come here, who have come to the service tonight, and are yet blinded by the devil. They perceive not the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He perceived it not. He was a ruler of the Jews. He knew the law from A to Z, yet he perceived not the gospel of Christ. He perceived not what it meant to be born again. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Didn't understand. Perhaps you've been brought up with religion, friend, but religion means nothing. It's Christ you need tonight. It's not religion. It's not the Free Presbyterian Church or any other church you need tonight. It's Christ you need. It's Christ you need. You can come to the Free Presbyterian Church and be lost from a Free Presbyterian Church as much as from any other church or embracing any other religion. It's Christ you need tonight. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the Ethiopian eunuch. He read Isaiah 53. That's the portion he was reading. And yet he understood it not. He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? He had no understanding of the truth of the gospel. But thank God, Peter, or Philip rather, opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. We think of Felix too. He trembled having heard the message of the gospel. He perceived it not. He said, go thy way for this time. That's what he said to Paul. Go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Maybe you're saying tonight, go away, preacher. When I need your gospel, I will call for you. You mightn't have that opportunity. When I need your Christ, I will call for you. You may not have that opportunity, but you have it tonight. You see, people perceive it now. Think of Judas, even in the presence of Christ, God spoke once, and he spoke twice, and he perceived it not. The Bible says he went out, and it was night. He went out from the presence of the Savior. He hung himself. Oh, my friend, what an awful thing it is to die without Christ. To die without hope. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Will you behold Christ tonight? Will you hear Him calling tonight? And trust Him as your Savior. Dr. Charles Berry was once asked by a Leicestershire girl, are you a minister? And he said, I am. He said, I want you, she said, I want you to come and get my mother in. And further questioning, he gathered that the little girl's mother was dying and she wanted to be saved. Dr. Berry was a very learned man, but he was not a Christian. He was a very intellectual man. He was a minister, but he was not saved. And so that girl, though Dr. Berry tried to get out of it, she persisted, and so he went with her. And he spoke to the dying woman about Christ and the beautiful example and teacher that Jesus Christ was.
And she said to him, "That's no good to me. I don't need an example. I'm a sinner." And Dr. Barry read her Isaiah chapter 53. And as he read the story of God's love and of Christ dying for sinners, that woman in her dying condition, she said, "That's what I want. That's what I need. That's the story for me." And you know, that night, not only did that woman get in, but Dr. Barry got in. And from that day on, in his experience, he preached the full gospel of Christ. Let me ask you, are you in tonight? Are you in Christ? Because if you're not, you're lost. I don't care how good you are and how commendable you are, and I have nothing against all your good points tonight. But if you're not saved, friend, you'll never get into heaven. You'll never get into heaven. You never get in through the Free Presbyterian Church or any other church. You'll only get into heaven through Christ and through the finished work of the cross. It's only through Him. The story is told of Sheila O'Ganigan. She was a factory girl in Ireland. She was broken down in health. She was advised to try the effect of a holiday by the seaside. And in her heart of hearts, she was perplexed by a problem that struck much deeper in her health. It was the problem of her sin. And one day, she opened her Bible, and she looked on the waves of the sea as she sat there at the giant's causeway, and she came upon a passage in Micah, "Thou wilt cast all their sins in the depths of the sea." And as she surveyed the horizon, she said to herself, "My sins are cast into the depths of the sea," and she trusted Christ. And a few months later she died, and the following verse was found on her desk: "I will cast in the depths of the fathomless sea all thy sins and transgressions, whatever they be. Though they mount up to heaven, though they sink down to hell, they shall sink in the depths, and above them shall swell the waves of thy mercy. So mighty and free, I will cast all thy sins in the depths of the sea." "Their sins," said Paul, "and their iniquities will I remember no more." Hebrews 10:17. My dear friend, tonight, thank God, you can know the forgiveness of the Lord. You can know the mercy of God tonight. You can know His salvation in this meeting before you leave it, before you go out into the night. You can put your hand in the hand of Christ. You can be saved for time and for all of God's eternity. God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth not. God first speaking, God further speaking, and God finally speaking. May God speak that word of salvation to you tonight. You'll be saved ere you leave this church.